The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
My name's William. Welcome to the Safety Third Podcast. This is a very special episode.
Have we ever had a not special episode?
They're all special.
They're all special.
For different and unique reasons. Actually, no, it's always bad reasons. It's just bad. This is actually an extra bad episode.
Yeah.
Today's guest...
It's just terrible. Just genuinely a mistake to be here for both me and the guests, and also for you, the audience. Am I gesturing at the right camera there? I have no idea.
Exactly. Now you know how we do this podcast.
Are you vision mixing this live, or does someone actually have to go through and do the
Normally we do mix it live.
That's my gesture for editing, by the way.
But the HDMI cables weren't working.
Right. Good luck.
And then it doesn't work, and then that one works. You switch the cables, and then that one works, and that one doesn't work.
That's okay.
You know,
yeah.
Technology.
It's great.
As it gets better, it somehow also gets worse.
Because, so here's the thing. The moment it gets better, it can do more. And then
it gets more complicated?
Yeah. It just never really gets, like, the moment it gets better, you're like, this is good. I can like, push it a little further. And then it just gets just as bad as it was before.
Do you have a theory as to why things get worse the more advanced technology becomes?
I think they just stay equally as bad.
Reverse
forever.
Singularity.
I guess it'd probably be better to preface with like an example, you know, of like you got phones which are more powerful. What's the meme? It's more powerful than what we landed on the moon, right? So then why do they get like really slow and stuttery?
Because you can be less efficient now. You have so much more power, you don't need to optimize.
I mean, you're right, because like coding over the years, used to be you have to optimize. Everything has to fit in 512K or less. And now it's just, you know what? We are going to, everything is an Electron app now, and you just download an entire browser for what should be like a half megabyte bit of code.
Yeah. So instead of making the applications more efficient, they just made the development more easy by making...
Which is a trade-off.
It's
not necessarily a bad thing.
Right.
But
it's also maybe
bad. I also don't need a half terabyte of RAM to open Slack.
Right.
You know? So.
Right. Anyways, we're recording directly to SD cards.
that was the original question, wasn't it? Yeah. Sorry.
How are you doing? How's America?
I mean, those are two very different questions. let's focus on the first one today.
Okay.
I'm doing okay. I am a constant ball of stress with everything. But
you're posting like every week, right?
For the last 8 years, yeah.
Oh my God.
Sorry, the look on your face.
I genuinely do not know how you do that.
The thing is,
tell me.
I would die after the first week if I had to publish once a week.
How often do you publish?
Maybe every couple of months.
And how big are the projects that go into that? Like how much time do you have to dedicate to other stuff?
Well,
that
my
is not
my really last big? Project, I put a snake in a hat.
It was pretty hard. Good hat. It's a good snake.
I had to pay a lady to sew a bag into it, so that was pretty difficult.
Hold on. You did not. I feel like if you have that time, learning to sew is part of the, experience. Why do you have your head in your hands like that?
Well, because it only cost. It cost $10. So.
Okay, then that's
I think our
second question: why are you only paying someone $10 for that?
That's
work?
All she asked for. I actually slipped her a $100 bill. I didn't ask for change.
That was fulfilling.
Yeah. always, like raise like. Go higher when you're working on something like this.
Because
it was a storefront. He went to a storefront and asked how much it would cost.
It was the best alteration store in Tampa.
It was a really good job. Too.
It was worth more than $10.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. It was very professionally done.
All right.
And so that's why I haven't made a video in like the last 6 weeks. Is
because you were busy getting something sewn into a hat.
Snake in a hat. Yeah.
I think that we are just bad at making videos.
that's
my game theory.
It's.
I mean, you gave up for a while.
But this is the thing. I never, I still.
He's still
was
giving
working
up.
On videos.
Well, I mean, I saw the video. It was like, I'm done. And I kind of took that as literal as being done. So I thought
because I knew more people would watch it, and I'd get more ad revenue.
Okay,
actually, the video's not monetized. Because that was the first thing I could think about is if I did monetize the video, which would be, I feel weird. That's immediate what people would say. It's like, oh, you're just, well, you know what? If I'm gonna look like a sad man on camera, I'm gonna make money off it. Screw you guys.
Do you usually look like a sad man on camera?
I got two videos like that.
Okay, okay.
Two sad man videos. And they
there's
do
a
well.
Playlist of two videos.
Yeah, actually
sad man.
Videos where William is sad.
So you've got your main channel, William Osmond.
Yes.
And then you have William Osmond Sad Edition. That's,
yeah.
That's a hell of a second channel.
I know.
That's just.
What's only your the secret? Because you do.
Oh no!
Like...
Last time I was on a podcast was Marcus Brownlee's.
Okay.
In it was lovely. Had a great day. I thought we were going in to talk about tech news.
Yes.
Because that's what his podcast is about.
Mm.
And then it turns out to be an entire interview on me. I'm not falling for that again.
Where?
Oh, okay. What's your take on Caillou hentai?
I never, ever want to hear those words next to each other. That's worse. Sure, let's talk about my workflow.
Yes, we bullied
Tom Scott into a personal interview.
How do you do those takes, those long takes where you just like, you don't
cut? No, we literally, Marquez asked literally the goddamn same question.
But
you know what I'm doing? Every time you ask that question, I'm going to tell you to watch a different podcast. Good luck.
What? What other podcast?
This is something I was actually going to turn back on you because this is something I want to learn.
Uh-huh.
I'm bad at improvisation. I'm fine if I have someone to bounce off for a conversation like this.
Yeah.
I'm fine. So the second channel I run. I also have the second channel. So that's every 2 weeks on there as well. That is bouncing off other people, and there is a crew kind of prompting. I have a thing to. But if I just have to sit down and deliver, I mean, something like Twitch streaming would terrify me because you're just on your own reacting to stuff, improvising with no safety net.
Yeah.
I know you folks edit thoroughly, but you still quite often are just talking at a camera unscripted.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you do that without having like 20, 30 takes, just having to watch back your own incompetence.
Yes.
Well, I say, so what he said is, it is 20 or 30 takes where you watch back at your own incompetence.
I mean, surely it gets better over time.
Like, it depends. Because like, I think there's two types of... Or there's like three types of communication. Like one is hyper improvised, where it's like you sort of have one shot, one opportunity.
Thank you, Eminem.
Yeah. Mom's spaghetti.
Yeah.
Was that deliberate, or did that just come from the subconscious?
I'd say that.
A little bit of both.
Yeah. And the other is trying to be organic and ad-lib, but also trying to be super effective with your communication. So you're trying to be like concise. That's the hardest.
Right.
The third is narration, where you're just completely delivering the like bare necessity to the audience to help bridge the gap. But you can sort of, you can communicate ideas more swiftly because you sort of go to like God mode as a narrator, if that makes any sense, where it's like anything the narrator says is taken for granted. Anything that you say kind of live on camera is a little bit more wobbly. It's like you're sort of making yourself a professional. It's very weird. It's like some subconscious stuff going on. And so the ad-lib stuff to me is easy because you can just say whatever and you just, if you look like an idiot, you look like an idiot.
Mm. Do you find like your speech patterns and voice change with that?
If I'm filming, I pretty much immediately, like I don't know how because I swear a bit in real life, it just, that shuts off.
Right.
Like I've gotten very good at just completely shutting. I'll like be a little bit more enthusiastic. So I've had people say like, it's kind of like a switch flicks. Mm. And so you sort of become this more like hyperbolized version of yourself that you wouldn't want to be all the time because people would hate you, but it works well on camera because you have to be more assertive and aggressive and you know, like insulting people is funny on camera. And so it's like being kind of just like saying like filtering less works well. And so it's like, it's a combination of like, how do you do the ad lib plus the focused ad lib, like the structured ad lib plus the narration. And the hardest part for me is like, nowadays it's the intro of like, how do you concisely introduce an idea without rambling? Because on YouTube, you have to just say it.
Not as much as TikTok. You've got about 3 seconds on shorts to get the audience's interest for the rest of it. But like, if you don't get to the point in the first few seconds,
Yeah, and that, and you're really good at that, where it's like you kind of know exactly, like you've already got your title to like lead into it, and then you're sort of like making that weird like kind of before video cliffhanger hook thingy to like explain the weird concept that you found.
Mm-hmm. Right. I have to sort of be the introduction into it and be the layperson that's there for the audience to, right. to go, okay, this is the introduction, this is
it's
why
like,
it's interesting.
Why should you care about this?
Right.
Yeah.
And the answer is generally it's not really a reason to, other than it's vaguely
it's
interesting.
Just interesting. It's yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas you have to be this is you have to get over you and your personality and the project that you are working on here.
Right.
Like you have to sell both yourself and the idea. Whereas I feel like I'm lucky I just have to sell the idea.
Yeah.
I have to sell the idea and not be off putting. You have to sell the idea and actively
be off putting.
Yeah.
Well, be off putting.
I think
in hindsight, I could have phrased that like
no. So see, that's the thing. Is what makes videos fun.
Right. That's the thing. Whereas if I was scripting, I'd have gone through and like, no, you can't have that because you need to set up two things and then resolve two things, and that's the wrong way around. Yeah. Okay, I'll rewrite that sentence.
Right.
But I also know that if I miss one word, if I say one word wrong, I will just have an incredible amount of pedantry coming. Oh, you actually meant that. I'm like, yeah, I know I meant that.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, you know I meant that, but the word was wrong.
Yeah.
And thus... Yeah, I have to
like
script
I in sort of the full. I mean, you just said, I think Alan and I have probably the most similar video style in like full improvise mode. If I say something wrong, like what did I said something earlier wrong, right? Like it was the lip balm. I said like bit like a fruit.
limp instead of lip.
And like in if I'm doing a video or on a podcast or something, it's just like it's almost like I'll acknowledge it or say it again or be like. You know, it gets kind of included, like the failure to exist as a human being gets included in the video. And I feel like that's kind of like from the beginning of the channel, because I don't know, a lot of people sort of will present their content in a way where it's like, I'm very smart, I did this thing. And it's like, I don't really work like that. It's kind of fun to just, there's less pressure if you sort of embrace looking incompetent.
Yeah.
I think it depends on what it is, because I was going to comment on what you said. For like my main videos that I do, it's all narration, so you can just keep redoing it over and over. But on the second channel, I actively don't script anything. So it's like even the intro is not scripted. I just keep talking to the camera for like 15 minutes and we chop it into something that's usable. And it's bad because sometimes we can't redo the intro. So I just, if it's bad, the whole video is bad.
have you heard of a tool called Descript?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But are like...
I think we talked about it the other day, where like it does text.
Text to voice. Edit video like it's a word processor.
But
okay.
Depending on the editing style you do, you can, like you said, one word you didn't like. I will, in the video sometimes, you do like, it looks like it's a joke.
You get like two more minutes on to talk about editing.
But while you do that, just because my lips,
yes.
you don't see it, you can splice in voiceover. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I've had it before where it's like, I will just... make the crop a bit smaller, and then as I'm talking, it goes down. You just don't see my mouth move, and like I can change the line. I can splice in words from elsewhere or fix the line. So it's like you do still have a lot to, you have the ability to fix, even though it appears that like I mean there is no scripting.
You started doing more improv stuff on the second channel, kind of like putting and like that is. Anytime I think about like any hesitation with making videos or sort of discomfort or like what am I supposed to do for the audience to, you know, I mean, it's like, oh, we got to get all the views and you got to make sure that it's not going
all
down.
The
views. And, I tell myself, I try to convince myself that like, I mean, I'm pretty much doing exactly what I want to do, that I should use YouTube as an opportunity to do things that I want to do, like have new experiences or meet new people.
That's what I've done.
I think like for me is like the best part of doing something like this, because it is real work. A lot of people will criticize, you know, a creator and be like, oh, you just sit in front of a camera and talk.
You need to get
a
real job, though.
Yeah, I have had real jobs. They suck ass compared to YouTube.
It's not a real job.
No, it's not.
There's a question of philosophy right there.
Because what is it? A job is a thing that you have to suffer. If you're not suffering, then it's not a job.
Oh, I'm suffering.
If you take
you're suffering. Everyone here is suffering.
You take the job.
It's real. It's so real.
Remove all the parts of the job and replace them with equally shitty but different parts. At the end, the job of Theseus is completely composed of new shitty parts. Is it still a job?
Is it still the original job?
I love the idea. The UK equivalent of Ship of Theseus, by the way, is Trigger's Broom. which is a sitcom reference from, I think, the early 90s. Same gag, like, oh, I've had this broom for 25 years. Oh, it's had, you know, 30 new handles, 30 new brushes.
Yeah.
And it turns out that's the British reference. And I just love the idea at the end of WandaVision, that the two visions.
Yeah.
Have you heard of Trigger's broom? Yeah. Just sounds better.
I do like that, though. It's much less epic.
Yeah, it's a broom. Yeah. Have you heard of Prometheus's turd? He kept eating different things every day.
That's like halfway there.
And then stole fire from the gods? Yeah. I don't know where you went.
I might be misremembering this.
That's just a bad night after Dave's hot chicken, you know? That's...
Have you heard of Jerry's pile of grapes? Every time he ate one grape, he replaced it with a new grape. I think that YouTube is kind of like the ideal retirement, where you can do things that you want to do, but you still have like the purpose of the job. Because you're like, I feel like very successful people, like CEOs, you know, someone like Mark Zuckerberg or Elon Musk, like they're built different in a worse way, right? Like there's something wrong with their brain, because once you accumulate like so much success and money, like there's probably an amount of money where you should just quit your job and like, I don't know, go take pictures of birds or something.
Yeah.
And
so that's a question then.
Yeah.
Because you get four people who make stuff for YouTube in the room, the conversation inevitably turns around how we make stuff for YouTube.
Yeah.
So like the question I wanted to ask is like, what do you have in your life other than work and hanging out with friends and family?
Warzone. I've played probably over the pandemic. I actually don't want to make an estimate, but it's gotta be thousands of hours.
Wow. I do not know. I'm assuming video game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Caillou hentai.
Again, the words keep coming up. And last time I said I didn't ever want to hear him again.
You need to make a threat that if he says it one more time, he'll just get up. Well,
okay, let me add one extra thing, like accepting like media consumption.
Okay.
So
okay.
Long.
However you define media.
So you're asking.
He's literally trying to out us as just losers.
Yeah. No, because the thing is, I realized a while back that I didn't have anything other than work and hanging out with friends.
Oh, so we're all losers.
Well, no, I
we're losers together.
Will, I have so many hobbies.
No, you don't.
I'm not a loser.
I drink alcohol.
That's on media.
I do consume it, but it's not media.
Does that count as a hobby?
I think some people think it does. I'm one of those people.
I have other stuff that I do. Not when I'm working too much.
I started shooting a film.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was like
shooting film or shooting a film?
Actual film photography.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Are you doing like full development kit or is it just like...
No.
Because this is a slippery slope. Yes. I've seen two friends You end up with your own little dark room.
Ooh. It's not worth it. So I kind of got sick of digital stuff. Because digital is consuming media has a very similar relationship to shooting digital, where it's like it's too quick of a turnaround, it's too quick of a reward. It's like TikTok is like, you know, do you watch TikTok at all? I'm assuming not.
I do not have it installed.
But like I'll ask people like, oh, can you tell me about a TikTok you saw today? And the answer is usually like it's not even an answer. It's just like they're thinking and they're coming to the conclusion that they don't really recall anything from TikTok. And that's kind of how I feel about photography when you're doing digital stuff is it's so quick to just take a picture with your phone or take a picture with your camera.
Just remember,
and then you go on your phone, you go on Instagram. It's like they give you thousands of filters to sort of like to artificially damage the picture in the same way.
Look at this guy.
Well, because in film, it's like...
You know, I held that opinion for a long time and now I'm good. I'm good with filters. I'm just...
No, I'm okay. Like, I don't care. It's just like for me, the idea of artificially introducing artifacts to a photo to make it feel more organic is like kind of... It's just sort of like, why not just get a hobby and like go get a film camera
touch
and like
grass.
Learn? Yeah, kind of like actually like take
or
the
just
long
take
route.
A better photo.
Right,
that helps too.
No, but I don't
sometimes.
Even care.
That's the difficult
photos.
Part, though. You could just buy new tools.
You know, also, no, I'm saying that the people who put like they crank like the filter, like the contrast and all this stuff up because the photo's not good. So you just crank
digital
everything.
Photos are good. Like digital photography and video is good for work and business, but film is like. to me feels more creative because you add a bunch of restrictions that force you to be more creative. Like you essentially say, I'm going to give myself a challenge. Every time you go to take a photo, there's a challenge. Like you, it's very hard to be good at film photography because there's a bunch of things you have to learn about the camera. Mm-hmm. There's not really like a whole lot of automatic stuff.
There's a lot of disappointment.
There's a lot of disappointment. And it's like, for me, like the medium format camera I have, it's like, it's a weird camera. I bought it, you know, come from Japan because they were more into medium format. So it's a very large piece of film. And it's like $4 per picture.
Wow.
So the roll of film can be like $8 to $10, and that gets me 12 photos on this camera. And then developing that can cost like $5. And so, you know, each photo is pretty expensive. And so it's like, you know, do I want to pull the trigger right now? And it almost is like a little challenge that then 2 weeks later you get to see, did you do a good job? Or it's like you get to sort of live those memories again, but later.
Right.
And so it's kind of, I don't want to say it was like an FU to all the stuff I do on a daily basis, but it felt more like creative, I guess, you know, and it was kind of doing the opposite of what I do on a daily basis.
Is it one like fixed lens camera? Or are you now in the world where you're getting more lenses? I can change lenses.
And so it's fun to kind of like, you know, go on eBay and like buy new things every once in a while. I haven't bought anything in a while.
Someone I know bought a tilt shift lens.
Yes.
Like actual proper. And I cannot, like he showed me all the bits and I just could not figure out what was going on.
So a tilt shift lens is like, so the first cameras that were ever invented essentially were what we would call a tilt shift lens because they were sort of not built how today's cameras were built. They're built very differently where it's like you, in order to focus, you have to move the lens away and closer. And inherently that the mechanisms were built more like an optical table here, you know, where you've got all your adjustments and you can like align stuff. And that let you do all sorts of weird stuff where you could like rotate the lens. And what that would do when you rotate it is it takes like the focal plane and it shifts it. And so you can get a focal plane that instead of being like flat to the camera, it's like diagonal.
And so if you've seen that Instagram filter where it's like, it's called tilt shift and it just specifically blurs bits to make it look small.
So
that is a physical thing you do with the lens.
Yeah. But you can do crazy stuff where you can shoot your focal plane between, like, so if the camera is like over there, you could do a tilt shift in a way where the focal plane, even though the camera's over there, will actually pass through the
floor. I don't know why I looked over that. Well,
so it's like normally, like for us to be in focus, the camera would have to be like perpendicular or like kind of planar to us, like parallel.
Oh, okay.
But a tilt shift would let you put the camera over there, and like you could almost like you could, your focus could shoot straight through the shot, like very bizarre. And they do it with building photography too. So you can point up at the building, but you can shift. And so you can correct for the parallax.
Oh wow! Okay.
So instead, it's very
the optics of it just was far beyond me. Just trying to understand how these little corrections that were being made.
It's more intuition. Like I think you get your hands on one and you start playing with it. But the problem is they're like the lenses are like $5,000 for the new ones. I think can be even more expensive. You can get old ones for like couple thousand dollars, but it's also still you just get a shittier lens because there's usually no autofocus. There's it's a fixed lens. It's like. But like that's something that I've always wanted to do is play with a tilt shift lens because it's something new and different and I don't know that's what I've done I think that's probably the biggest hobby.
That's a good one. That's like a real actual hobby.
Yeah,
because you're not immediately monetizing that. You're not turning that into content. That is just that's a better way of phrasing it. Like, what is in your life that is not creating or consuming content? That's a better way of phrasing it.
Yep. I think that's a good.
I really want to make my own multi-tool. I haven't done it yet, though. Not yet.
I thought about it. But Alan, would you make a video on it?
No.
Okay.
Because you wouldn't. That would be a really bad video. It's like
the only reason why.
I want to make a multi-tool that I can take on an airplane. And is geared more towards like electrical engineering work. I mean, that's pretty much it.
It's not a bad video idea. I will say
no,
that.
It's no. Sorry.
I have a TSA approved multi-tool. They just haven't found it yet.
Yeah. Well, it's not approved.
Dude,
it's
gone through, it's gone through TSA, like, at this point, probably, like, 2 dozen times.
I think it's because it's the one that it folds into, like, a little circle, right?
I think
it would just look like a medallion.
I mean, the knife, yeah, you could do more damage with a pencil than the knife that comes on this thing.
The new ones at Schiphol Airport in Amsterdam, you don't have to take anything out of your bag. It does a full 3D color.
It's actually
the analogic.
The analogic machine. That's the actual name of the. I think they pronounce it a little differently.
Yeah, yeah.
But
probably,
it's spelled analogic.
It is.
And it's just it's like bizarre to me that it is when you look it up, it costs the same as an actual medical CT scanner, because it is. It's the same company that makes actual medical CT scanners.
I think it was more expensive, actually.
You could get a lower-end medical one.
It's just not brand, Analogic one. Brand.
Yes. It's not Analogic.
You can put your own sticker on it, though.
But it was just sort of this realization that it's like, you know, the TSA has a federal budget. It's, you know, close to $10 billion a year next year. And, like, that is a government-subsidized CT scan of luggage. Mm-hmm. And you would not be able to get one of those for your body unless you went to the airport and, like, jumped 100%. Into the machine.
100%. You could send someone's ass through one of those.
Yeah, could you not?
And
just
you would come out with a medical grade CT scan. I guarantee it.
Could you just lie down on the belt?
Yeah, just like, hey, could you just do me a favor? I have a really weird feeling in my back here. Could I just go through?
You have a friend at the TSA. He just
But it's like a weird, bizarre kind of like, you know, why is this thing being paid for? And it's like essentially identical to this other thing. But we are not going to pay for this.
Well, I mean, this goes into... I asked you all to lateral flow before we did this, to, like, do a COVID test, which I kind of assume... Because that's just not a big deal in the UK, because the tests are about $1 or $2 a piece.
They're like $5.
No, $10 here.
Yeah.
I got two for five. I was 2 for $10.
Do you have like a discount medical supplies store you're going to?
No, it was just like CVS.
Oh, okay. Some guy in an alleyway.
Because I'm starting to run out of the pack I brought with me. I was just like, I'll go to CVS and pick it. I'm sorry, how much? Yeah, I was...
Yeah,
I
back in Canada, it was like a five for five. No, yeah. Everyone can get one free.
We were in Florida. I think each of us spent like $40. And we went to go get the
PCR.
The PCR. Yeah. And they were like, yeah, it's going to be like $180.
Yeah.
And we were like...
Wait, that was in Florida?
Yeah. Mm. And so we just did the rep, and we're just like how hard am I supposed to try? Like, it's almost like no one's trying to work with me here.
And there are folks who are on full productions, like big union productions in LA that I haven't been able to meet up with because they don't want to take the risk.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, we have to be so careful.
Like, they just won't be the whole with production anybody.
Yeah, I mean,
the circle, maybe outdoors, everything like that. But it's like, this was not a necessary meeting. It was not a family meeting. So, like, next time. It's not like we had to meet up for anything. So, another time.
Yeah.
Did you hear about... this is a secondhand rumor, by the way. I do... With the caveat, this is
this
just something
is,
I was told, which
tea
is thankfully...
with Tom
not
Scott.
Not
Goss with works. Tom Scott.
Tea. No, it was...
Tea
the Game of
Tom
Thrones
Scott.
Prequel had an entire shadow crew. Like, they had... Every department had a backup on retainer paid less. So if visual effects had a COVID outbreak...
They just cycled.
They would all quarantine out... And the new one who had been isolating together half pay would now get full pay or whatever it was and come in. And that was the requirement. That was what they had to do.
I wish we had that kind of budget for you to be.
To have an entire second Shadow pay, William. Just,
well, I don't know if it was half, but like honestly.
They got a good deal. They never had to.
It was basically, you need to isolate. They were being paid for staying in accommodation as a group.
Okay.
But not actually having to do any work. Just keep up with what's going on. Be ready to step in.
I mean, at a certain point, I think that makes sense. I was on a television set like a few months ago, and we did have one of the hosts get COVID, and the entire thing had to be shut down for like 10 days, which in production is like, especially not even just from a financial perspective, like everyone there is on contract. So like their dates are up and they kind of always have to be working. Yeah. So once we blew past the original like end of filming day, like they had to just find new people to like replace like the sound people or the PAs because they had to leave to go into other jobs.
Which means all the institutional knowledge is gone and you have to retrain.
Yeah. So it is like it is such a mess to like have that happen. And it's always a risk for these things.
So what are your non-media hobbies that you've done over?
I mean, these days, roller coasters at the minute.
Yeah.
I didn't have much. And then about 3-4 weeks ago, I got over my phobia of roller coasters. That was content.
Really?
We did do that for a video.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Yeah, but you also get to ride a roller coaster.
I think there's I had a
full-on phobia.
Really?
Full-on. I'd done all the components. Like, by this point, I've done like high G and zero G and inversions. Like, I know I...
That's way worse.
I know I... Yeah. You'd think, but there is something about the phobia is very specifically about
you get
locked
like,
in.
Yeah, you get
no control. Like the click, 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 click.
What about the statistics?
Oh, no, again.
Even that nothing
else. It's a phobia. Right, it's irrational. Irrational fear.
Yeah. That's what Valium is for, I think.
You'd prefer to be on a roller coaster where you weren't strapped in?
I would prefer to be on a roller coaster with an e-stop button. Which doesn't.
I would time it for the top. Of the
yeah, just every time.
So there's a thing called a Robo Coaster. There's a couple still running in Legoland in Denmark. I think there might be one in Legoland in the US.
Yeah.
Which is just a robot arm, a KUKA robot arm with two seats on the end.
Yes.
And like some of them are themed.
Are they planted?
This is Shakespeare. So
there was one at Disney World for a while.
So they're just planted to the ground.
They're just planted in the ground.
Yeah.
And some of them bother to theme it, and some of them is like. It's a robot arm with two seats in it. Do you want to ride? But because it's a robot arm, it's got an e-stop button. Like, if it turns out... And that sort of thing I'd be fine with.
Right.
Something with a pilot. Yeah, it's a plane. If this is unpleasant, I can say, can we just stop for a bit and we'll be in level flight. Roller coaster, you don't get that.
No.
You just got to close your eyes and know it'll end soon.
Yeah.
Me and Nigel went on this thing called the Sky Flyer or whatever.
Oh, no.
And it's the thing
I love
where,
that.
You did like the worst possible
you
thing.
You sit in essentially like a plastic chair with like one little flimsy like...
Oh, with the chains. Bar.
Yeah.
That's a Star Flyer. Yeah.
Star Flyer.
Those
Star
are great.
Flyer.
Those are fine.
What?
Doesn't
no.
drop.
They
it doesn't
did it,
drop.
They did it in like Vegas.
It was the one in Orlando that goes like...
Yeah, yeah.
It was like 400 feet or
we
something.
We go very... Like we went up so high.
Oh my god, that was Orlando.
Oh,
it's
actually fair.
Oh
but,
my god,
what? It feels sketchy as hell, but like it's.
No, it was.
I was laughing, and I spun to shake.
We were
it
up.
And, like,
Nigel started laughing, and went, "It doesn't feel real." Okay. I was like, okay. "Because you're dissociating right now. Your mind is dissociating from your body, Nigel."
There's a very clear thing that you're missing. It's the institution that is operating the ride. You were doing it at an accessory park to Disney in Orlando.
There is one of those Star Flyers in a little family park in Germany.
Okay.
And it's not a big park. They don't have any, but it's inside an old, never used nuclear power plant. And the Star Flyer is inside a cooling tower.
That's pretty cool.
So like you get the echoes inside the cooling tower, and then it just pops out the top so you can see the view. And it's lovely.
Really if it nice. Breaks, you're just going to smash into the wall.
So that's lovely.
That's fine.
But so you're talking specifically
it's the
like,
drop. It's a specific, oh my God, over the, oh, now we're plunging. That is... And
I know what you mean. I know what you
it's
mean.
It's a specific. It's that stomach drop, everything tensing up.
But
feeling.
You like it now.
I don't feel it now because it turns out that's fear.
Mm.
That's what I discovered on like the second roller coaster was that feeling you get when you get surprised by a going over a hill in a car.
Right.
That kind of everything tenses up.
Yeah.
That's fear. That is. I don't know whether it's a physical reaction. Triggered by your brain being surprised.
Yeah.
But if you're not surprised by it, if you just kind of, okay, this
embrace
is what we're doing
it,
now,
sort of?
You don't feel that. That unpleasant feeling, the thing I was afraid of, the thing I had a full-on phobia of.
Is it like an adrenaline dump or something? Or like a
I don't know. I couldn't tell you what...
probably like a vagus nerve, like stomach-brain connection
what,
that happens.
Whatever it
drop.
Is, if you're expecting it or just happy that it's going to happen, that feeling... So anyone who's always loved roller coasters may never have felt that on them and won't understand anything about it. But if you know the feeling that you mean, but
well, I went on a roller coaster. I had it all the time. I went on roller coasters enough, and you just stop.
Yeah. So it turns out that's just fear, and now that thing that I'm afraid of has gone. I've got a Six Flags annual pass now.
Really? Now you have to catch up on like
Six
all
Flags.
The years. Of
well, yes, but I'm also now in my late 30s, so I also get neck and back pain after like the fourth roller coaster. Like I should have got over this years. I have had years where I could have got over this.
I used to love roller coasters as a kid, and I think like the taller I got through puberty, the worse it got.
Why?
I don't know. I just it would be like you move more. And so you end up like
oh I like that just
but you're
like,
how tall, you're shorter than me you're how tall are you
I'm like 6'4".
I think once you
he's
pass,
telling the truth that's how
just gonna just to set up straight
just always slouch
yeah
I just like I remember have you been to Six Flags Magic Mountain
yes
okay because that's
like
I think
like three times in the last couple of weeks
is it still like the capital like or
they still have more okay. I'm starting to like have opinions on roller coasters
there's some good shit there from like I don't know if they've added much since
they have the world's first modern looping coaster
which one's
so
that?
It's the
we should go
it's the I cannot remember the name of it it's called something classic
Was it Revolution?
Yes, Revolution Classic.
Revolution. So they rebuilt it or something? Because that was originally the first looping coaster, I think.
Yeah, it's still...
What do you mean, first looping?
Like it, so,
it was the first one that did a full loop.
Yeah, well, it's the first modern one, because people tried it.
I think they rebuilt it then.
Yeah, well, people tried in like the 1920s, and it turns out if you just build a circular loop, it'll try and break people's necks. You have to have like a certain mathematical path that I don't have the math to understand.
It's like a weird acceleration.
But it's the
curve.
First one. And it's like, you go over the top, and there's this sign that says, keep head back against headrest. I'm like, I am going to obey that sign. And it's just this, like, it's not like a modern one where it's just, it's an unexpected loop you just get put into it. It's like, oh no, this is a lot, you're just going downhill, you got the loops ahead, it's a good 5-6 seconds before, oh God, okay, here we go. I feel zero like, G, oh, how, God, here we go, and we're out.
How does that work from a physics perspective? Because I'm assuming that it's like the force vector changes, and then you also have to include gravity. So if you do like a consistent acceleration, you're gonna have it's gonna be when you get to the top, you're gonna be pushing against but also pulling down.
If they get it right at the top, you should be in like a zero G stall, maybe hang a little upside down. So full throttle at Magic Mountain, which is the one that just you accelerate 0 to 70 and then go into a loop right away.
Right.
They weigh the train just before it sets off to give it exactly the right amount of thrust. So it, you just kind of hang at the top of the loop for 2 seconds, and then you're back out.
So it's like this centripetal acceleration the, like, is matching gravity at that point.
Yes, yeah.
So
or just down. Full throttle, gravity just overcomes it, so you feel just like you're floating out your seat.
Yeah, okay,
harness.
So it's like you just have a tad bit of...
And then we're back in.
That's awesome.
So where, if there's a malfunction in the scale, then...
Yeah, you're just
going to... So this is the clever bit. When you, the last element on full throttle, you go over a top hat, it's called, and you go down, but then the station is like right there. It's just, it's there.
So
if
the brake.
I was like, if the brakes don't work on this, how on earth does that work? It's eddy current braking. There's magnets in the car, and that's just like a lump of iron, I assume, on the track. So it doesn't matter. Like, whatever speed you're coming down that, you will be going at a safe speed out of it just because physics.
It's probably like a very nice like acceleration profile.
There's a lot
as well.
Of really, really clever stuff. And so as someone who likes infrastructure, it turns out that that roller coaster nerds are like train nerds. Or like any kind of transport nerds.
Yeah, there's
like,
there's a couple
there's a
of infrastructures
that
you could
put
in your bucket. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, but it means that I now go, okay, oh, that's what they've done there. Oh, that's really clever.
Yeah.
Or also, oh my God, I'm never going on that ride again. Or I know I'm not going on that ride because I've been on one of those manufacturers elsewhere and it gave me a headache.
Right.
Like, you turns out you learn this stuff. And then you get really enthusiastic about it to other people.
Right.
That's cool. There's a roller coaster in Japan. I think it's called the Dododo Ronpa. And it is the fastest acceleration in the world.
Yes, I think that might be. I think full throttle may be where I got the neck pain. I think I might have got like a little bit of whiplash on that. So that's probably not for me.
You do actually accelerate faster than an astronaut going up on a space shuttle. Very briefly. That'd be cool. It's literally just a straight line up. That's all. There's not like a whole lot of crazy stuff after that.
Yeah.
The main attraction is just like the acceleration.
Oh, so the ones I tend to like are the ones that do interesting stuff.
So you like the
what's the one in the bottom corner by the parking lot at Magic Mountain?
Scream.
Scream. So I'd say you probably like Scream.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It's a smooth ride.
Mm-hmm. Does lots of cool turns
stuff.
And
I see.
Because there's, like, Goliath. Like, I have pretty low blood pressure. And Goliath, I will start to
that
actually see spots.
End.
Yes.
Like, I got that.
Because in Montreal, we have the Goliath. It goes up and down. Or what does yours do?
I don't know. It sort of does all the things.
Colossal.
Yeah.
Really fast on the downhill. But there is a helix at the end of it.
It gets tighter
that is just,
and tighter.
You're tight to tight. And you're like...
it's very different.
There's a similar one at Nitro at Six Flags in New Jersey. Which just... It's lovely. Big hill, lots of lights, lovely. And then it just puts you in one really brutal helix near the end. Where it's like, and I actually had to do a G-string maneuver to stop myself getting grey out. Because I found out I passed
out
at 3 points.
Did you say G-string maneuver?
G-strain. Very different.
G-string maneuver.
Thank you for calling me out.
Please teach me.
I know automated captions would get that wrong. G-strain. It's you have to stop all the blood going out of your head. So you have to tighten all the muscles. You have basically... Yeah. Breathe out with that, or breathe. I can't remember exactly how to do it. You'd have to look it up. But it's sort of, and it's to stop all the blood dropping out your.
You can do the same thing with a G-string, actually. You just pull it really tight.
your body will naturally tense up.
Because I got to go on a centrifuge once. I got to go on a proper, like, draining centrifuge.
Make it sound like an opportunity.
I passed out at 3.6 Gs sustained.
Oh, that's not that much.
It's not. Now, in the video, it looks like it did on the first time. That was actually the third run.
Okay.
So...
You're already having a bad time.
I was already... Like, I was like, do you want to try and push it higher? I don't know how much I've got left in me. And the medical guy was like, just do 3.6 one more time. Like, I mean, lights
it's not,
out.
It's not that bad, right?
Like, no, as long as they immediately stop it.
Yeah.
Which they did, of course.
Right.
Like, a roller coaster is not going to cause... anyone who is going to have that problem on a roller coaster is not going to get on a roller
just
coaster.
Just like a little brownout, temporary outage.
Honestly, it felt... I didn't feel it at the time.
Yeah.
Like, this, for the centrifuge, as far as I knew, I'd been conscious throughout.
Hmm.
I was saying some words, and then the world just went really a bit wobbly and fuzzy for a second. Like, oh, we've stopped. Did something go wrong? I'm like, yeah, you play it back. There is full lights out and convulsions on the way back up.
Ooh.
Wow.
Like, it was. Oh. But in my head, it's a continuous line.
Right.
Did a hard reset on your brain. Everything worked smoother afterwards.
It was full, like, Windows startup sound. Okay.
It fixes all sorts of things, though.
But if you want to do something like that, Mission Space at Epcot is a centrifuge.
Yeah, I think I've been on that. It's very convincing.
Yeah, that's because it's literally giving you proper G-force. You're in a centrifuge spinning.
Man, I wish there were like more smooth ones that didn't bang my head around so much. Like, I definitely think the taller you are...
You want coasters made by B&M. I have opinions on this now. You You want steel coasters made by them, and nothing wooden, and nothing made by Aerodynamics.
Okay.
Like, they have reputations now, and from what I've seen from the coasters I've been on in the last few weeks, they're deserved reputations.
It's coasters are such a weird thing because each one is like different, and so they have, I think, some general consistencies between them, but it's like, how do you run a business where each product you make literally has to be unique, because that's why people...
No, they're not.
But they're kind of...
Some of them are.
Yeah.
But for parks that aren't like Six Flags...
Then they buy like an off-the-shelf
catalog.
It's
an off-the-shelf design. Yeah. There's a catalog for it. So Scream is just a mirror image of one at Six Flags New England. If you've ever been on one that pulls you up so you can see the drop, sends you through the circuit... Then pulls you up and sends you back through backwards.
Yeah, I think they call it Deja Vu at Six Flags.
Yep, or there's Boomerang. It's just called a Boomerang.
Right.
There's like 40 of them in the world. They're an off-the-shelf ride that a park can just buy. And if the park closes down, they can get taken apart and shipped off somewhere else. So yeah, like there's ones like Universal and Disney obviously custom build everything for us to do. But like Six Flags Scream is just an off-the-shelf.
That's interesting. So they probably have some unique ones. It's all like just marketing at that point, right?
And if they're going for highest, fastest, like Six Flags has a huge budget, they can do that.
Right.
The smaller parks may just be buying them off the shelf.
We talked about this in a podcast a while ago, and someone found some of the clips, but I was in an extra in a Magic Mountain commercial years ago.
No kidding!
And they didn't use any of... Or I never saw it, or the video just never was online. But they, I think we did like two of them, and because they had to hire so many like SAG union extras.
Yep.
After that, they could just go on Facebook, and so I was like, I followed them on Facebook, and they were like giving free tickets.
Sorry, I was imagining you were like 6-7 years old at this point. I don't know why. I
would have been like 19.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Yeah. You're still a baby.
Yeah, I don't know why I thought he was. Did anyone else get that off? What, how he described that, or was that? I was just assuming you.
That would have been awesome. Well, I'm like, the old man in the Six Flags commercial.
Oh, the dancing old man.
But yeah,
it says something about how pervasive American culture is that I get that reference, and we don't have Six Flags.
Our marketing is good.
I mean, you have just summed up the United States of America, right?
It's just a big marketing machine. I used to be so like enthusiastic about it, and I think that like the instant my head started hurting,
like Six Flags roller coasters or the United States.
Six Flags roller coasters mostly, though, and just roller coasters in general. Like I really wanted to go to all the different Six Flags. And we were just in where's the one in Texas, San Antonio?
Oh, I don't know that one.
Where were we? I don't remember where we were. And we were right next to another one, and it's just like my sort of excitement for it has sort of dwindled, and I think it's just purely because the taller I got, or like the more grown up I got, the more it hurt every single time I got off one of them. It was just like, my head hurts. Why did I do that?
I never felt any pain from them.
Nigel, you're an entire season of House, though, walking around on
the weakest man who claimed legs I've ever seen.
Also, I'm suspecting you, that took me a second. Sorry. I'm suspecting you are not yet in like 30s, late 30s.
I'm 30.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, you got a few years of roller coasters left. Enjoy it before your body gives.
When's the last time you've been on a roller coaster? Can be like years ago.
Okay, yeah, all right, you're going to Six Flags and you're gonna come off aching. Yeah. that's fine.
We're gonna take you, I think Ninja was the one that bangs my head up. Is that one still exists? It's like the
it's rattling.
That one's
The only one that I went on in Montreal is the one where there's like they put it really close to your ears.
Oh yeah,
but it's a violent one. It shakes you come off with earaches.
No. I'm assuming you've seen the suicide coaster, the one with the loops that continuously accelerate. Like,
yes, in theory.
Yeah,
I love that one guy wrote about this, and everyone like, yeah, sure, let's talk about it. Like,
no, let's
it's not
build
a practical
it.
Idea. It's wait, are you?
No,
that's oh, okay. No, building this.
All right,
I'm more interested in
Alan,
the fact that
Alan can test it.
Theoretically, buy an off-the-shelf roller coaster. I think that'd be pretty.
I mean,
cool
you'll need a few million, but it can be done.
Oh, a few million
and some land, probably.
Well, anyways,
well, you can also build your own
Patreon. The people, Safety Third Patreon.
There's a backyard roller coaster culture. There's like half a dozen, maybe a dozen people
well,
in the
I've
U.S.
Seen that before. Yeah, they just build their own.
Yes,
it can be done.
That would be fun. I just
good luck.
I love the idea of doing that. It just feels like such a time sink, like it would take you so long.
What, to build a roller coaster?
So even a really shitty roller coaster
that lasts 5 seconds.
Like even building like a section of track would take you like a week. Like you have to cut the tube sections, you potentially have to like bend it appropriately, and then it's all got to be aligned. Like,
and you assume it's not just gonna crumble in your.
I know. I think you could do it pretty well. I think it'd actually be pretty easy to build a halfway decent roller coaster in your backyard, but like a tiny scale one.
I mean, you could. I was gonna say, you could outsource it because for $150. You can just go to Six Flags for the year, and
you have a backyard amusement park, and you sell tickets. And when people show up,
it's
there's a shuttle that goes to
Six
Flags,
right?
And the tickets are $10 more than Six Flags.
That's a great plan.
Well, what are they gonna do? Sue me? Said man who was sued.
That's a theme park. Actually, it would be really easy to make a suicide coaster in your backyard, though. That's the easiest.
I feel like you have
a
different definition
with
a
gun
of really easy than I do. Like,
there's the complicated one with the loops, and then there's the one where it's just as soon as you sit down, a gun behind you pulls the trigger.
It's like a Futurama bit. Yeah. Have you ever been in...
I can do that right now. It's going to involve this sofa and that balcony.
Yeah.
So
how far down does that go? Two
Tom,
stories?
Tom's got suicide.
I think one.
Sit here. Shut.
Yeah.
That's it.
One story is fine.
$20.
You gotta go head first.
You have to still have the photos at the end. Like, the one that takes a picture of right before you hit the ground.
Who's gonna buy it?
Oh, the coaster?
No, the photo.
Oh, the. It's a, you have to pre-buy it. You're like in the line. You have to decide to buy the picture right then and there.
Do you want to upgrade to an annual pass? No, not really.
It can be used for your funeral, right?
Yeah.
I got to ride in a Model S Plaid, which is the new...
The crazy acceleration.
Yeah, it's not the Roadster, but it's. I think it's like... How fast? It's like 2 point something. It's like it was approaching horrible. The feeling, like you could feel your, like you could start to feel things, like kind of entering roller coaster territory where your eyes just feel weird. You can kind of start to feel like a little bit of that, where you're kind of your soul is sort of being distracted a little bit. And I was thinking to myself,
were you driving or were you the passenger?
I was a passenger. Okay. There's no reason. There's no reason to buy this car. And if you ever use this feature, because first of all, it takes like 20 to 30 minutes to heat because it has like it heats the batteries up, it keeps them warm. And nobody would want to ride with you. Like it genuinely sucks.
There is a valid argument. I'm not sure if I agree with it. That all cars should just be limited to like 80 miles an hour or maybe 85.
Yeah.
Because the highest speed limit in the UK is 70. The highest speed limit in the US is 80.
Yeah.
Arguably, you should not be able to go faster than that.
Right.
No, but there's... Because I always talk about it, there's never an acceleration limit, right? Which is...
So I looked this up. There is.
There is?
But it's not acceleration. It's vague. There's like a vague catch-all called
driving,
it's Exhibition of Speed.
That's cool.
And it has to do with, it's very weird though, because it can kind of talk about like showing off, like that's the exhibition part
of it. The UK equivalent is driving without due care and attention.
Yeah,
that's it's the catch-all. Look, that was that was clearly dangerous.
Ours sounds cooler.
It's it's, I mean, again, good at marketing.
you would say.
But yeah, it's the catch-all of, no, there is not a specific law that outlaws what you did, but there's no way you were driving with due care and attention when you just decided to burn out across a car park.
The thing with the plaid, though, is it doesn't burn out.
Mm. So, and also, car park wouldn't count because it's not a public road, so never mind.
But, well, same idea. Like, if you were at a stoplight and you accelerate zero to speed limit, 40 miles an hour, mm-hmm. and you do it in a second and a half, and the tires don't make a single peep, It was I definitely think pushing the line though with the plaid. Like that was the point where it's beyond just being useful of like being able to sort of like have control of like what lane you need to be in, like if you want to get in front of people.
So there are moments when that could come in handy. Yeah.
It is, and it's helpful too, because I think, what do they say, statistically, like driving faster is safer than driving slow. I mean, obviously not speeding.
Because, you get off the road faster.
Yes, like being able to do what you need to do is the safest way to drive.
Right, because I was in traffic on the 110 yesterday.
Yeah.
And I just, there's traffic ahead, I brake, and I do the rear view mirror check, and they're not braking behind me, and I can see they're not braking, hazard lights, and there's nothing I can do about this. If I were in electric, and if I could have gone, right, on the shoulder.
Yep, you got an out really quick.
But there was just some very heavy braking when they saw the hazard lights, and they just managed it in time.
It's like you just accept death, basically.
But I with a car that is not a terrible rental, I could have done that.
Yeah.
So there's certainly an argument for acceleration. Mm. Is there an argument that you really shouldn't be able to go faster than 85? I don't know.
Didn't Elon say that there was going to be a model Tesla that was going to have like cold gas thrusters at some point?
The Roadster, yeah.
But there are many claims that have been made over the years.
That's like a far.
Like we had self-driving like 4 or 5 years ago, apparently, and
It works perfectly, right?
Yeah.
That's flawless.
Like the car I rented, which is very definitely not a Tesla and not very good, still has a button that does lane follow and adaptive cruise, and that's really all you need.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
I've experienced the self-driving, and it's very impressive.
Okay.
It's also presumably
until it isn't, at which point it is very rapidly not impressive.
Yes. But when it works, it's very impressive. You slowly start to realize though, like there's a lot of educators and a lot of decisions that unless you have some true form of like artificial intelligence making decisions, I think is almost going to be borderline impossible.
Yeah.
All right. That's the episode. Thank you very much, Tom Scott.
Oh, wow. I didn't know if you had a content plan there. Try and wrap it up with something that's... No. Well, thank you for having me on. That was lovely.
Let's go get lunch. You like Thai food?
Sure.
Is that the end?